Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
What club I went to with my homies, baby, don't worry, you know that you got me. That's all I got. That's it for this week. That's all I got.
Well, I think that's enough. Praise the Lord, niggas.
The shade. Praise the Lord, niggas.
Is that shady? I
think so. Yes, you're always shady to me, but it's fine.
Am I?
You're pretty shady, but it's cool.
I don't think that I'm shady at all. I think that I'm very pleasant. I'm one of the
praise the Lord niggas.
One of the nicest people you know. Thank you very much. Yeah, go ahead. Think about that. Sit with it. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm just gonna press forward.
What are you pressing forward over?
You said you're one of the nicest people I know.
I want to know how that's not the truth.
We are not at the kitchen table yet. So
what? Is that something on your heart? Is that something you need to say?
No. No, there's not. But
I feel like
I know I'm not one of the nicest people you know.
That's
maybe
correct.
One of the most loyal, but I know I'm not one of the nicest.
What that got to do with what I said?
You are not one of the nicest people I know.
Oh, well, you don't really know a lot of people. But I mean, I still feel like I'm one of the nicest people that you know. And I think that, you know, whatever. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay, me all day, sis. Okay, me all day. Whatever you feel like you need to do.
I'm dying.
Clearly. Well, hey, y'all. This show is about adulting. And we're talking about it. It's a scam, totally. It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, so you finished snickling? Oh, okay.
No.
All right. Well, welcome back. I'm Kia.
I'm Jade.
And this is Getting Wrong.
I'm here to get on Kia's nerves because that's what I do best.
I just don't see one lie. As hard as I search.
No, that is what I do best. Even when I'm not trying to. Praise the Lord, niggas.
What?
We got trash.
I feel like you're
today.
Always trying to. But let's just go ahead and get into the trash because I'm not sure what's happening here.
I don't either.
Savior God. Okay.
A clean up woman. All right. We have a pretty packed trash list today.
Oh,
I know. Elijah Alamin in Florida, the young man who was killed by a racist who said that he said that he needed to kill him because he felt like his life was in danger.
What? When was this?
The young man was playing rap music.
When did this happen?
He said this happened a couple days ago, actually.
I didn't know anything about this. This is terrible.
Yep. Elijah Alamin. Out of Florida, actually. So, according to The Root, Arizona? I thought they said it was Florida when I originally read the story. It's out of Arizona. So, a man Elijah was at the gas station, and he was playing loud rap music, and a white man by the name of Michael Paul Adams slit his throat.
What?
And said, yep, he slit his throat and stabbed him with a pocket knife at the Circle K
gas
station.
Are you kidding me?
I'm dead ass.
This is ridiculous.
And then the biggest bullshit is that the white man said that he was being, because he said he did not feel threatened. The young man did not threaten him, should I say. However, he was being proactive, not reactive.
Holy God.
Yep, because he said rap makes him feel unsafe.
Oh.
And those who listen to rap music.
Are you kidding me?
Have attacked him in the past.
Are you serious? But he can walk around and slit people's throats. I'm so done with this.
So now, he's pleading insanity, of course.
I don't have time.
And they're trying to get that passed or whatever the case. And I'm like, you know what? May you die a slow death, truly. I don't feel no way about saying that, because anybody who's that ugly and dark in their hearts and is not, and anyway, I'm tired of these white people not minding their business, and I don't feel bad about saying it. I'm tired of white people not minding their goddamn business every fucking where on the planet. But in other news of white people not minding their business, our newest Disney princess, Ariel, it's going to be portrayed by a black girl.
Yes, indeed.
Haley Bailey of Halle Bailey of Chloe and Halle is going to be our latest Ariel, and white people can just be upset about it. Apparently, there is a hate group on Facebook.
There's so many.
Called Not My Ariel.
There's so many. I've seen so many people talking about, like, justice for Ariel. Or justice for our Disney childhoods. It's just like justice for a fish. Girl, if you don't get out of my face with this.
Right. Like,
I don't have time.
So you all think that every Disney princess needs to be white.
Absolutely.
There's
they
not
do.
Allowed to be any diversity.
No. There is not. And I mean, I think what's crazy is that I was really reading about this. Well, I don't want to say reading about it, but it was coming up on my timeline with, you know, intense fury on the 4th of July. And it was just like really like all of the events kind of happening at one time. I'm thinking about the people who are literally in cages at the borders of this country.
Exactly.
And ain't no justice for them, right?
None.
But y'all gonna throw your whiteness and your weight and your wealth and your privilege behind a fictional fish. Like, white people are out here in droves throwing their money and writing petitions and literally campaigning to Disney.
Let me tell you something. White people get to do whatever they want when they want to. They love to be loud and proud and wrong and strong about some bullshit like a Disney princess. Y'all can't. They get mad when we have anything. And then, so recently, I also found out that in one of the Starbucks, a patron complained to the Starbucks staff that they did not feel safe with these two cops that were in the store. So the staff member asked the cops to leave. And now white people are trying to protest Starbucks.
Listen, they wasn't.
But y'all ain't saying shit about these young boys getting their throats
exactly.
slit.
Exactly.
Or you ain't saying shit about the George Zimmermans. Go ahead.
Or the young men that were kicked out of the Starbucks by the police.
Mm-hmm.
It was two or three of them that were there for a business meeting.
Yeah.
And because they didn't buy anything, I don't remember what city that was in. Was it Philadelphia or something?
I think it was Philly.
Either way, it's just a lot of.
It's a lot of
whiteness.
Stupidity.
I just feel like we get, and this is not to suggest or say, I don't know. I have to be careful about how I say that. But I feel like a lot of times people conflate white people with whiteness. I think whiteness is a construct, is something that is, you know, a different to wrap your mind around conceptually. And I think
Absolutely.
That we have to really, really think about whiteness in this case, especially when we're talking about like Ariel, this whole Disney debacle. But
this is totally whiteness.
Yeah, and I totally saw The Root actually published another article that came out, I think today, really kind of highlighting a very interesting perspective and position around how Disney and ABC, you know, they all kind of exist under the same umbrella, mm-hmm. has never or does not tend to give lead black female characters, black love interest. So talking about how,
like the Princess and the Frog,
right? So the Princess and mm-hmm. the Frog, in the Princess and the Frog, the prince was kind of racially ambiguous, but in other instances where there has been a black woman or a person of color portraying the princess role, her love interest was either white or just not black. So thinking about like Brandy in the remake of Cinderella, and there were others that were highlighted in this article. But I thought it was a really interesting read. I actually retweeted it because the person was the author. I think his name was Jason. It's on my Twitter. He introduced the hashtag Disney Black Prince and was talking about how important it is for black children to see, you know, black love, even in the cartoons, yep. and even for black boys to recognize and have, you know, black princes to look up to, just like, you know, just as it's as important for, you know, black princesses. It's as important for black princes. So I just thought it was a really, really interesting piece. And mm-hmm. I think it was really nicely laid out, nicely done. And I just kind of posted it on my Twitter, like, what y'all think about this? I think it would be dope, but I really feel like Rachel's Cousins would really hit the roof. Yeah, it's by Jason Johnson.
We'll link it in the description box.
It was really, really interesting. Kind of laid out how the Princess and the Frog, other than the Hollywood executives. So he said, remember in 2009, Disney could have cast Corbin Blue for High School Musical movies, or even Justin Guarini for American Idol to play a French Creole prince for Tiana. But they didn't. She got racially ambiguous Prince Naveen.
Yep.
And then in the last decade, the House of Mouse has gotten better at racial diversity, talking about Disney, but yeah.
They have gotten better with diversity, which I do appreciate, but I think that's a very, very, a very good point that young black boys do need. They need Disney princes to look up to as well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They need that representation as well.
It's also sits on the Disney Channel's Lab Rats and True Jackson VP and Ant Farm. All the little black girls had white boys as love interests. And in the upcoming live action Lady and the Tramp movie, which will star Tessa Thompson, Charlie Bean is cast as her husband. And then also citing how on shows like Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder, the lead characters also also partnered with white men. So,
well, I had an issue with that Scandal.
Well, true. But it just seems like, you know, he really raised a lot of dope points around, you know, Disney has a long, unmistakable record for consistently failing to cast black women and men together as romantic leads. A black princess should have a black prince, just like every other Disney princess has a prince of her own race, except Pocahontas, because that's vaguely historical. But yeah.
Vaguely. Emphasis on.
But yeah. So, I mean, Jason Johnson did a really good job with this. We'll link it in the description box. But I don't know, man. What y'all think? I think that it would be dope to have a black prince to play Prince Eric in the Little Mermaid, but we shall see. I think Disney should just go all out and make this an all black thing.
Do it.
The memes have really been plenteous around possible, like who could play other parts. Like I saw one that said Snoop should play Flounder.
Yes.
And they said Shonda Paul should play Sebastian.
Somebody said Jesus needs to play Sebastian.
That could work as well.
And I'm here for it.
But yeah, there's been some really dope. They said Samuel L. Jackson could be a dope King Triton.
He could.
Lizzo could be Ursula. But
where are your motherfucking fins?
I know you ain't been up there.
I told you to keep your ass off the earth.
Lizzo could be Ursula. I also feel like
yes.
Somebody said Monique could be Ursula.
Honestly, she like, I'm here for
come somebody here, my said, sweet baby.
Oh, my Kim sweet baby said Titus Andromeda.
Oh yes,
that needs to be Ursula.
That would be. I would pay good money to see that.
good money but to see Titus and Andromeda.
I just feel like I would live. I mean, I don't know though, because The Lion King is a mostly black cast, but if Disney would just really just do this for me, I would be most appreciative, honestly.
The Lion King better be a mostly black cast. What you talking about? It's the one goddamn movie that's featured in Africa.
Thank you.
They better have a mostly black cast. Kiss my ass.
But yeah, I think it's really been interesting to see people react to the Little Mermaid.
It has. I've been ignoring most of them. They putting all kinds of...
I mean, you are tickled. I don't even know what just took you out.
Because I...
You are dead.
Where's my phone?
I don't know.
There's a video that I want to post. I was going to post on my stories. And it was... It said... Look, it says... Lindsay Lohan sending one more casting tape to the Disney executives. Hold on. Can you see this?
No.
You see this woman?
This is
what it is. I thought you might like to see this. I thought you might like to see this.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a 55-year-old red and white woman.
Y'all are so shady.
Woo, Lizzie, if they be shady, daddy. We can be shady too. They put an Ariel on top of a
child. I saw them
watermelon, and they said that she had
like they was like Newports. She was holding a pack of Newports. They are just rude and just tasteless, classless, even
trash.
I mean, it really just shows how.
Let me post somebody's auntie from the trailer park with her pack of Marlboro Light 100s and see how they react. They're gonna be big upset.
But it's really just become really clear to me, and that's what made like. This whole 4th of July season was just like one of the worst ever. Worst maybe be strong, but I mean, it's just really, really challenging for me to think about how, you know, I could not bring myself to come talking about celebrating this country's independence when I don't feel...
Never.
I just don't feel... It's just not... I'm not relatable.
Never.
Like, I just can't. No. I feel like... Never ever before have I felt under such threat and living in actual fear, because I think if this administration and this current political climate, this current time has taught me anything, it's taught me to just help me to really see and be aware of how, I mean, like, racism is not something that used to be around. It's something that's very active. It's alive and well. And to see how deeply entrenched a lot of the things that we, you know, do and live, our practices, our cultures, our ways of life, our systems, they're really just kind of steeped in this deep racism and white supremacy. And thinking about that as a person of color does not make me feel independent or
fuck no. The people's president was marching with tanks.
I can't. I really
marching with tanks.
And I just, the Lord, even in the rain, because the Lord wasn't even there. He was like, I'm not.
He wasn't.
This. I'm not.
And there was no rainbow after. He was like, rainbow it's after like, a storm, please.
I'm not doing that.
I want y'all to see exactly how I feel about this foolishness.
I don't blame him one bit. And that's why I just, you know, just the 4th of July was just not what it used to be. I feel like, yeah. And I don't know. I know people are feeling ways about it, but I just got to be true to myself.
4th of July. Well, speaking of black love.
Happy Burnt Hot Dog Day.
That's exactly
happy
what
happy day off work. Get you some potato
happy
salad.
Happy day off work. Happy we get to congregate and bring sides to a cookout day. Who all over there? Mm-hmm. You know, you are not invited to the cookout. Speaking of black love, Chrissy Lampkin let her Disney prince, Jim Jones, know that she's ready.
This is exhausting.
This is where I have to go in the comment section, because I was like, I got to see what people were saying about this. And somebody was like, exhausting. We've been waiting on this for decades. We're dead now.
This is really just tired. I'm just exhausted. Really tired.
How long are y'all going to do this?
I feel so bad. I feel so bad. And I love Chrissy. I do.
The chicken is dried out. What do you mean you're ready? Like, it's been ready. You should have taken that out the oven long ago.
It's really just, at this point, it's like,
don't even do it. Don't even say nothing about it, should I say. Just go do it and don't say nothing. Mm. Just coexist like the rest of these people. There's people out there been together for 30 years and niggas be like, you know what? I don't know if they married or not. They're common law married and that's all. They're domestic partners and it's fine. Jacquees with too many E's was having, he had too much sugar before Essence Fest.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw his little performance clip.
I did not.
Hyper boots.
That's fine. I don't really care.
He was jigging all over that stage and it gave me anxiety. I think it was a bit of both. Speaking of Essence as well, did you see your auntie Iyanla? She was drunk.
Oh, when she was talking about she was on the pole.
Nobody's ever seen Iyanla Van Zandt on a pole.
The gag is I don't feel like she was drunk. I feel like that's something I would do. Like, I'm on the pole. Like, this is a corny, like...
Iyanla was drunk.
I mean, she could have been. She
had a drunk cadence.
She's entitled. I just felt like her laugh was like... I don't know, girl. Whatever, Rhonda. We love you.
Nobody ever thought they'd see Iyanla Van Zandt on a pole.
I didn't.
I'm going riding.
Bless her heart. Y'all leave Iyanla alone. She got her a new $10 ponytail. She living her best life.
She sure did get her a good yaki, braided it out, dipped it in the end. You know what I'm saying? Gelled up them sides. It was pro style for life. Congratulations to the U.S. women's soccer team for winning the World Cup.
Indeed.
Shout out to Megan Rapinoe for repping Nipsey and shouting him out in the comments and quoting him. I thought that was beautiful. And I really like her. Megan Rapinoe, I really like her. They were like, are you going to the White House? She was like, no. No, I'm not going to the White House. She's like, first of all, we won't even be invited. But no, I won't be going there. Mm-mm, absolutely not. And I live for her. I really do. So I don't know if you heard about my Uncle Stevie and his kidney problems.
I did. But I also heard that the Lord has given us a kidney.
He found a donor.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he's getting surgery in September.
We have to protect Steveland at all costs.
At all costs. I said, freeze him. Mm-mm. Freeze him and protect him, please. Put him in the freezer. I'm telling y'all, like that is my guy, okay? So when I saw that he got a donor, I really wept. I truly did.
It's a celebrate.
It is. Jaden Smith actually is doing something really lovely, unlike these niggas outside. He opened an I Love You food truck.
I saw that.
Yes.
That's so precious. And I love that food is free.
The food is free and vegan.
Glory to Jesus.
For those who do not have homes in LA. So
wealthy people things.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. Wealthy people so things, but dope. At least he's using his celebrity
absolutely.
To do something really
and
dope.
And that's why I really love and respect it. I do.
And it's his 21st birthday.
Come on, I'd be 21 years old. I'm old as
okay. Okay,
Jesus.
Girl. And his mother posted a beautiful, beautiful little tribute to him on her Instagram for that. And then lastly, I wanted to save this wonderful news.
Oh, my word.
Oh, also, rest in peace to Cameron Boyce from
very sad.
The Disney Channel. He passed away due to complications. I believe he had epilepsy. So he passed away due to a seizure in his sleep. I feel so bad for his family. Noah is a huge Descendants fan. Descendants 3 comes on in a couple of weeks, and she's been talking about it for months. Descendants 3 is getting ready to come out. He was also in a Disney show called Hey Jesse. Hey, Jesse. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's some real parent shit. So it was really sad to see. He was only 20 years old. He seemed like such a light. His grandmother actually was one of the original 12 in the Brown versus Boyd who desegregated, who was part of the integrating of schools. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting fact, but so much love to his family. I know they are heartbroken right now, and all our prayers and condolences are with them.
Absolutely.
But lastly, on the trash, our girl Big Frida
Hey.
Is getting her own flavor with Ben and Jerry's.
It's lit lit. I saw that on the Shade Room, I believe. I will be purchasing.
It's called Booty Bouncing Beignet. I cannot wait. I hope it is not only featured in Louisiana because your girl needs parts.
I will be purchasing in bulk.
I will. And I will be, if not, I'll be ordering. And hopefully it will come sealed. And that's the trash this week. And we'll get to that. We're going to get to that, actually. There's a reason why it wasn't on the trash. But that's the trash this week. So let's move on to the shout out.
Let us move forward.
My sister's popping right now. Like.
All right, let's shout out the sisters and brothers and things of that nature as the hood drives by. Jay's
as
window.
The hood drives always.
I know that you have one, sis, but I wanted to actually do a pre-shout out to my sis shout out, if I may.
Please.
I would like to shout out Jade and Kia. Why? Why do you ask? Because despite our folly and foolishness and the times that we are just less than great, you guys keep listening to the show. And I just don't understand why. However, I do appreciate it. But we are shouting out getting grown because we learned that, you know, just this month, we have cracked over 5 million listens and downloads. That means, listen, y'all, like, do you really let's just wrap our minds around this for a moment. That means that 5 million of you people have pressed play.
That's brazy, fam.
That's so brazy. Like, and our show's not even that old. So I just wanted to say from the bottom of my suburban little heart, I'm ever grateful to each one of you for really, really, really hanging in with me and my sis as we kind of figure this out. We don't know what we're doing, and this show is a disaster in many ways.
Wasn't the show about us not knowing what we're doing?
Well, I mean, you know, I was getting there. But we are figuring this out, and y'all have really just been on this journey with us. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful for this platform. I'm grateful for getting grown. I'm grateful for you, sis. I'm grateful for all of it. And I mean, we're celebrating 5 million listens, 5 million downloads, and we're not even 3 years old yet. So that's nope. Crazy. So we love you guys so much. We thank you guys so much. But yeah, shout out to Getting Grown. We out here.
We out here just being out here, trying to be out here.
Trying to be out here. We're trying.
Thank you guys. We do. Kia said it. We appreciate you guys immensely. You know, some weeks, as XD likes to say, we're like a Jamaican restaurant. Sometimes we ain't got it.
We ain't got no rice and peas. We ain't got no rice and peas. We ain't got no oxtail
gravy left.
We just out of it. We don't have it. We should be closed.
No more cabbage.
Right. We should be closed. We don't have nothing. We should close down, but we still show up to tell y'all what we ain't got. That's a beautiful metaphor.
Like, what you got?
I feel seen.
Macaroni pie and stew chicken. I'll take it.
We got curry chicken, only white meat.
White rice, curry chicken, you want? Yeah, I'll take it. I came here, I'm hungry. So we truly appreciate y'all. We can't do this if it wasn't for y'all. So but our other shout out actually is a brand new podcast.
Hey,
it is by my good dear Nolika Radway. And Nolika is called Raising Rebels. And Nolika is speaking about raising three young rebels in Brooklyn, three beautiful daughters in Brooklyn. And she had Tristan and I on an episode where we talked about discipline for our kids and how that looks to us and, you know, what things we'd like to do differently from how we were raised and, you know, some of the structure that we implement and so forth and so on. So you can check them out on Instagram under Raising Rebels Pod.
Yes.
You can also check them out on iTunes under Raising Rebels Podcast. And when I tell you, it is a really, Nolika is wonderful at navigating these conversations. So if you have children, I think it would be a really, or if you're helping to raise, if you're part of a village, what have you, I think it would be a really great listen for you, truly. That's Raising Rebels Podcast. Shout out to Nolika and Domino Sound.
Congrats, ladies.
Congratulations. And with that being said, let's move on to our kitchen table.
Olé.
Do it. Are you looking for Fitspiration? Getting fit and staying healthy has never been easier than with OpenFit. OpenFit's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room for in as little as 10 minutes a day. No more worrying about others watching you work out or keeping up with peers at the gym. OpenFit is great for all fitness levels. Plus, it's affordable and accessible. You can view it on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, or even Roku. Okay, so you all know that I struggle with trying to get my workouts in. OpenFit has worked so well. I started working out with this program called 600 Seconds. Mm-hmm. 600 Seconds is a 10-minute workout that packs in fat-burning, muscle-building, body sculpting. It gives you the benefit of a longer session, but in the fraction of the time, in 600 seconds. When I tell you that thing has whooped my ass,
like, I believe it.
Your girl be out here the next day in pain off of 10-minute workouts.
I believe it.
But it's allowed me to try to keep my body at a balanced level, and I really appreciate it. OpenFit has changed the way that I work out, and by texting our code GROWN to 303030, you can join us on a fitness journey personalized just for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, during the OpenFit 30-Day Challenge, our listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit when you text GROWN to 303030. You'll get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, just text GROWN, GROWN, to 303030. Standard message and data rates may apply.
Hey guys, we're back with the Kitchen Table Talk. This one is, this is something that I struggle with. And I feel like I talk about it a lot on the show and on my social media. So you guys are going to be like, oh my God, again. But I had an awesome conversation with a good friend of mine this week. And she did something with me that kind of sent me into my, my thoughts and reflections. Like, oh man, this is something I should really develop, like as a practice. And I want to share it with you guys to get your thoughts, because we all deal with negative self-talk in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And it's something that I am struggling with pretty heavily. You know, in therapy, one of the things that's really been most illuminating is really, really seeing how it comes. It's like a second nature kind of practice to me. It's not something that I think about. It's just something that kind of flies out of my mouth. So One of the things that I'm doing is trying to develop new mental models, new mental habits, new practices, so that, to kind of combat what feels like my intuitive habit of kind of just going to the place of Floyd Mayweathering myself to death. It's almost like Floyd Mayweather, 50 Cent. Like if Floyd Mayweather and 50 Cent were one person.
Not reading well? Or?
Oh, Lord have mercy. The ways that I bully myself just kind of bring me to that space of 50
Cent. Oh,
yeah,
you're very 50 Cent to yourself.
Yeah, I'm 50 Cent to myself all the time, but I'm trying to work through.
Like, you owe me money.
And I don't want to be 50 Cent to myself anymore. And I feel like, that I can't be alone in that. That is something that I know a lot of us deal with, the ways that we are extremely self-critical. So I thought that... what happened was I was kind of like beating up myself in iMessage. And my friend was like, well, in life, but iMessage specifically. And my friend was like, okay. And I asked her, I was like, is negative self-talk to something that you've dealt with? She was like, I think we all deal with it. But one of the things that's helped me is I've really stopped myself. When I have these thoughts, I don't just let them exist. I really kind of go to the meat of the matter. I try to think about the root of the feeling, where it's coming from, and I'm critical of it. Like, I question it. And most of the time when I do that, I realize that it's really not based in anything, or it's based in something that is based in something that is, a fear or just kind of like panic or worry. It's not something that's based in hard evidence. And she, asked me like two or three questions. And just in those two or three questions, we were able to really kind of shift my perspective from what the thought was. So I thought that we could do that on the show at the kitchen table. I think, we go through it. with a negative thought that you have and a negative thought that I have, and just kind of talk about this process of questioning and, you know, whether or not it's something that we think we might be able to implement in our day-to-day lives around just kind of training ourselves how to have a healthier thought life. And mm-hmm. disclaimer, I am in no way a psychologist. I do have a degree in psychology, but, you know.
Of course you do. We sure do.
But, but you know, it was like my bachelor's. So I'm not like, you know, I'm saying that I'm not a trained counselor or a trained psychologist, and I'm not suggesting that this can be done in the place of having a therapist or speaking to a counselor or something like that. But it's something that we should do, or we can do on our own, to kind of get into the habit of practicing healthy self-care, healthy self-thoughts, and ways to kind of get ourselves out of negative places when we find ourselves in them. So you down?
I'm down.
All right. So I don't want to assume, but is like negative self-talk something that you struggle with? And if so, are there common negative thoughts that you have about yourself? Things that you kind of find yourself saying frequently or thinking frequently?
I think like your friend said, we all deal with negative self-talk. And I used to deal with it a lot more. And I've really, really tried to work on it. Because, you know, like right now, actively, I'm always calling myself poor. I know I've said that before. I'm always calling myself poor. And my friends are really, really good about clapping their hands in my face and letting me know, hey, stop calling yourself poor. Stop doing that. And one way that I've actually tried to implement or like combat negative self-talk, should I say, is when I start thinking negative feelings. They're not always necessarily the same feelings of negativity. It used to be surrounding my body. That was like a common theme. I was always trying to do something with my body. I have come to accept what I've come to accept at this point. Like, girl, this is what we are. Like, there are things that we can work on, and these are the things that we can do to work on it. But it's not something that we want to focus on. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody paying attention to your body as much as you are. So that's one thing that I've learned to work with. But in general, combating negative self-talk, no matter what the topic may be, I've started trying to replace it with something good. And that's not necessarily to say that I don't have any flaws or like I don't want to focus on things that I want to work on. It's not me brushing them off, but it's making sure that I'm balanced in that. And I know that I have a tendency to speak more negatively about myself before I'll say something positive. So I've started trying to combat that by thinking of something positive. And, you know, if it's something that's valid and I need to work on it, then sure. But sometimes I have irrational thoughts. And with that, that's where I try to combat it with something positive that I've
Give
that
me
I've
an example
on.
Of an irrational thought, since you jumping all ahead.
I am. I'm sorry. Oh, am I? Yes.
You're jumping all ahead just because, hey, we just almost there. Just give me a minute. Give me an example of one of the, like you said. So I think the, you know, I'm poor thing, because, you know, it's really quick to say, girl, I ain't got no money. It's very quick to say that. Yeah. That's really a good one. And then the body image ones are definitely a thing, because we all know that I deal with that as well. But, you know, you said you have an irrational thoughts. Like, what? Give me an example of an irrational thought, or a way that you can kind of go from 0 to 100, nigga, real quick.
Well, the I'm poor is pretty irrational, because, you know, living in New York City is not easy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We have a very high cost of living, one of the highest in the country. Ooh, shout out to San Francisco. We are with you and understand what's going on with what's going on over there. But the I'm poor, it's irrational, because if I sit back and I say, and I look around and I say, I have a home, I have a roof over my head, I have a home that I like coming home to. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been able to really start getting it together. I know I spoke before about moving in and really wanting things set in this house and kind of a different feeling than what we had prior. So just the ability to be able to pay these bills and come in a house that I enjoy being in and being in this environment, it's pretty irrational for me to call myself poor, because there's too many people out there who don't have or don't even have the capability of being able to put a roof over their head or being able to go out and buy furniture for a home that they love. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty irrational. And that's a pretty irrational thought.
Dope. Well, not dope, but thank you for sharing. I'm saying, of course. So I think that one of the things that I deal with is in this negative self-talk space is that I'm really super hard on myself in terms of productivity and, you know, getting things done. And I set really high standards for myself. But I think when you do that, it's really, you have to be very careful, because it's easy to cross the line of high standards to unreasonable standards. And so a lot of the times my negative self-talk is around, like, you know, I'm raggedy. I didn't get anything done. I'm failing at this, or I'm not doing well at this, or I don't know what I'm doing.
Sounds like our phone call the other day.
Right. I think the struggle for me is I feel like I want to be accountable to myself and to the goals that I've set for myself, but I struggle with finding balance in being adaptable and flexible and having like grace and compassion toward myself in those spaces. So struggling with feeling like I'm going to mess this up, or you know, all this is going to go away, or, you know, I'm doing this wrong, or I'm going to get found out. Those things that tend to be kind of where I live and reside, in the negative self-talk space.
And it drives me crazy. If I may interject, I'm sorry to interrupt you for a second. Well,
go for it.
I'm going to interject and I'm going to be transparent. Key and I had a conversation where she was doing all of that last week.
Was it last week? I feel like it was a week before. But either way.
Maybe it could have been. Probably. You know, I don't remember anything. But we had a conversation last week or the week before about Kia feeling like she wasn't being productive and she can't make it to work on time. And,
well, you know, that's just a thing. Bevy that's, that's a real thing.
But in you saying, I can't make it to work on time, I can't be in the office by 9:30, whatever. I was like, all right. Okay. All right. But Kia, what time do you leave?
Fair enough. Okay.
When we are together, which is not a lot at this point because of schedules and where we live, but when we're together, we have to physically yell at Kia to put her iPad or her computer down because she's constantly working. So I said all that to say, even when you're feeling, when you start calling yourself trash and whatnot, and we start getting them, you know, you start having them feelings of I can't get shit done right. It just astounds me because I'm like, kid, you do 1 million things. So this my is nigga. Like,
this is going to take us to the next point of the conversation. So I feel like I feel weird because I'm going to keep saying my friend. I was talking to Sarah Jakes, right? Because. I didn't ask her or tell her that I was going to do this. So
Hey, Sarah.
Yes, we love you, sis. I hope that she doesn't mind. Cause I really wanted to give her a heads up about it, but they just got away from me, sis. But, I was talking to Sarah about this, and one of the things she was saying was just like, a lot of times, you know, the self-talk is really from a place of, you know, having a limited perspective or looking at things, being insistent upon looking at things in one certain way when, you know, if you look at things from a different perspective, it's really not that bad. So when I really took some time to think about and really question the root of, you know, the negative self-talk around my lack of productivity, air quotes around lack of, when I really took a good look at it, I think that I was measuring myself up to a standard that, you know, successful people only do certain things. Like, and I think that that comes from a lot of messages that I've received in the past from former supervisors, mentors, people who just live and move and work differently. So I at one time had a supervisor who let me know that successful people are early risers and they get all their work done, you know, essentially.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah. So like, So like, you know, all those while y'all was sleeping people. Right. Right. So
I was up at 5 a.m.
You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, and there's no shade, right? I mean, if you're a morning person, that's when you are productive. But I mean, I think I wrote my dissertation, I think I wrote my dissertation between the hours of 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. So
the midnight hour.
There are times when I don't feel, and there are times when I get to work, you know, and I'm at work 9 o'clock, but I don't feel like my engine starts running until about 3 p.m. Like, I mean, I'm there and I'm doing things and getting things done. But, you know, sometimes the spirit doesn't move me until a certain hour. And there have been things that I have been trying to do to kind of change and adapt to the kind of the ways that my life are set up right now. But I have to always come back to and remain true to the fact that, you know, I'm just set up different. And I might not be the person who's at work at 8 a.m., but I am the person that's at work at 8 p.m. And that does not make me any less of any less productive or any less qualified or any less worthy or any less, a bad bitch. So, and it's about thinking about the thought. So when Sarah and I were talking, she was like, you know, one of the next questions she asked me after like what the negative thought was, what evidence do you have to prove, you know, the thought? What evidence do you have to support what your thought is? So my support is, my thought was, you know, I'm raggedy and I don't get things done. And as a result, you know, I'm going to, you know, miss opportunities or lose out on certain things. And she was like, what evidence did you have in your life that would even suggest that? Have there been instances where you have, you know, even messed up and lost on a major opportunity or blah, blah, blah? And when I really sat and thought about it, I couldn't really think of a time where, you know, there's been a major, major change or something has happened. I mean, that doesn't say that I've not messed up. But I mean, and what really kind of got me together was like, even when you have messed up, you've been able to bounce back. You've been able to rectify the situation. So it's not a matter of you're going to fail and mess this up, or it's not a matter of you are not worthy of this, or you're going to, you know, it's not a matter of that. It's the panic talking. And the panic is creating a scenario that has never happened before. And it's honestly not likely to happen again because, you know, even in my limitation or my shortcoming, you know, there's grace and provision where, you know, like, and then she used a great example where she was saying like, is it that you are raggedy or is it that you're human? Right. So like, like I think with the pressure that we put on ourselves to be perfect, you know, so, and it's really like, you know, in that comparison space, like you think that people are perfect because they're doing certain things, but it's just like they do those things well. And then there are other areas where they are limited. So it's like, is it that you are raggedy or is it just that you're human? In that, girl, I mean, you're not the only person who put 8 things on a to-do list and only got 3 done. Like that happens to every single body, and that doesn't make you any less of an adult. It doesn't make you raggedy by any means or stretch of the imagination. And it wasn't until, you know, the question was posed to me that I was able to pause and really think like, oh wow, I really am making this up. Like I really am putting all this pressure on myself and it is for naught. So it's not only just asking yourself what the negative thought is. The next step is really kind of, okay, so challenging the thought. If you feel that way, what is the basis of it? Like, what evidence do you have that would lead you to believe that, you know, like you were saying, like, I'm broke. What evidence in your life? Do you?
I mean, there's evidence, there is, but
I'm saying broke is relative. The evidence is that you don't have an inexhaustible amount of money, such that whatever you want to do, you can do. But very, very few adults are in that position. Most people are not able to just, you know, move however they want to, whenever they want to, because our resources have a limit. All of us at whatever level we find ourselves in. So it's when the thought comes, thinking about the thought from the perspective of like, oh, well, what evidence is there to support this? What in your life would make you believe that this is the case? And even if you do have some evidence that it is there, well, what evidence do you have that it's going to continue or that's going to be a constant pattern? Or even thinking about it from the perspective of, okay, like, this is what it is right now. How can I, challenging yourself to think about it in different ways, is really the crux of the exercise. And then after that, the final piece is to the point that you were making before. What affirmation can you say to counteract the negative thought?
Yep.
So,
okay, I have a question for you.
Go for it.
So, you know, we've spoken about when, you know, you having negative thoughts about yourself or us having negative thoughts about ourselves, should I say, and a lot of them not being rooted in things that make sense. But so this is another transparent moment, but this is how I need to frame the question. So in our conversation that I spoke about, you also talked about your supervisor. Sometimes making you feel like you're not productive enough because, you know, she does things this way. How do you counter when somebody like that comes to you and it puts you in your feelings and it makes you feel a certain way? How do you counter that? Let me see. How do I want to ask this? So using that example, we spoke about your supervisor and you just spoke about these people who talk about early risers, blah, 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 albeit the most successful people. When you know that you are busting your ass and you already have negative thoughts yourself, how do you keep those types of comments from people in those kind of positions, which could have you exercising that self-doubt even more so? How do I want to ask this question? How do you bring yourself back, should I say?
Okay. So I think it's a couple of things. It makes me think of the conversation that we had when Fran was on the show a few months ago. We're talking about feedback. Because I feel like, specifically in the conversation that I had with my supervisor, she gave me some feedback around my performance, around certain things. But I think that, you know, like Fran said, feedback is necessary. It's a part of the process of refining us and making us better and developing us. But there is a point where you have to, I think the responsibility that we take is that we have, it's about what you're going to do with that feedback. It's not just taking it all in, but being intentional and conscientious about, you know, how you're going to use and apply it. So, you know, you eat the meat and you spit out the bones. You take what from it you will, but, you know, being, I mean, holding yourself to a standard, but also acknowledging and respecting yourself and advocating for yourself in that right. So I know with the conversation that I was having with my supervisor, you know, one of the things that I did was I spoke to people who I know, getting other perspectives, asking people who I know me and have my best interests at heart. People like you, people like Keisha, people like LaToya, people like my sister Ginger, people like my mom, people like other mentors like Dr. Friesbrit, other people, Dr. Griffin, who I know will tell me the truth around, people will tell me the truth about myself. So in doing that, you know, and I'm thinking about our friend of the show, Adama. Hey, Adama. Adama always says confidence.
Hey, Adama.
She said, I hope I don't mess this up, but it's like confidence comes from evidence. Like you build confidence based on evidence that you have in your life. And if you want to build confidence, you have to get information that's going to help you to believe and be confident in whatever it is that you whatever your intention is. So what I did, you know, I got a lot of different feedback, got a lot of different evidence. Got a lot of different perspective, a lot of input lot of different evidence around the feedback that I received from my supervisor. And that helped me to really discern the parts that I could use and the parts that I could, I don't want to say disregard, but the parts that I could, that I didn't have, you know, the bones that I had to spit out. Right. So, people, I think the thing that I struggle with is that generationally and even disciplinarily, right? I think we're kind of socialized to think about things in different ways. And I think that there are certain generations, certain people who feel like there's only one way to do a thing. Mm-hmm. What I'm learning is that if that's the way that worked for you and that's your way to do it, then that's the way that worked for you. That does not have to be the only way.
That's it.
So two things can be true at one time. If my supervisor says, this is the way that you do it, okay, dope. That's the way that you do it. That's the way I will do it here. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the way that I was doing it is wrong or inappropriate. I might have to adapt it or kind of, you know, go along to get along in this instance, but that doesn't necessarily discount or discredit what I bring to the table. So I think that was one of the ways that I was able to navigate that. So just being conscious of what the feedback is and being discerning about how I wanted to apply it or not apply
That's
it.
Good. Good. That's good.
So give me an affirmation that you use to counteract your negative thought, and then I'll give an affirmation, and then we can wrap up. Hopefully this, wrap up this conversation that I hope was useful.
I touched on it earlier. An affirmation I give myself is when I begin to call myself trash for whatever that is in that moment, whatever it's for, that reasoning in that moment. I first ask myself, is this valid? You know, is this something I try to inspect, like you said, the parts that, all right, am I being self-critical or am I being, am I just trying to give myself some constructive criticism? But an affirmation that I'll use is trying to think of something in that same arena that I'm doing really good at. So, for instance, I'm really hard on myself also about how often I'm not able to cook dinner for my family. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, how do you cook for a living and you get home and you all end up ordering off of Caviar or Seamless or DoorDash or whatever? Like, that's trash. You're trash for that. You know, and I feel really bad when Noah will come to me and go, Mommy, are you cooking for the clients or are you cooking for home? And, you know, it'll make me feel like trash. And then I counter that with an affirmation I'll give myself is, you know what? Like, this busy time that I have is not every single week. It's not, you know, there's seasons of this. And there are seasons where these niggas are eating home cooked meals four times a week. You know what I'm saying? That, and I say four times a week because leftovers and things. Mm-hmm. But they're eating like brand new, fresh, home cooked, delicious meals at least four times a week. There's times when that's happening. And then there's times where I can't cook for weeks. But I'm like, but bitch, you're working hard. Like, you're busting your you're sweating your titties off. So even though you may be cooking for somebody else, you're making sure that your home is taken care of. You're making sure that your family is taken care of. You know what I'm saying? You're doing this for your family. So while it may not be something like I can't cook dinner on a Tuesday, you guys are going to be eating my dinner for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That's an affirmation that I'll give myself. And it's not for naught. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing it for no reason. Like, I'm out here working. So if I can't cook for you all for a week, that doesn't mean that I'm a trash mother and wife. It just means I didn't have the time to do it because I was doing other things for the household.
Absolutely.
What about you?
So, okay, mine's kind of twofold because I want to share kind of like the conclusion of our conversation with Sarah that kind of inspired this whole thing and something that I've been trying to do in kind of developing this practice on my own. So when I was talking to Sarah about my negative thoughts around how, you know, I'm raggedy when I don't meet my deadlines or I don't, and most of the time the deadlines are the deadlines I've put on myself, right? Mm-hmm. When I don't do things within the time frame that I want to do them, and as such, I'm going to mess up the opportunities that I have or ruin everything and end up broken in poverty. But Sarah was really helpful in really pointing out how it's not that I'm raggedy, but I'm human. And she said something that's really kind of stuck with me, in that my humanity is, you know, opportunity for God to be God, right? Because if I was perfect and did everything flawlessly, then there would be no room for God to show me that even despite my raggedy, He is still out here making sure that I have the space. Like, I feel like, and it helped me to kind of really see, even after that conversation, like, to see how awesome and dope it is. Like, you know, how dope of a father it is. A father gives you space, training wheels, right? When you're riding a bike, your father puts the training wheels on there. So they give you the space to kind of fall off the bike and figure out how to do it. The truth of the matter is, and you said this too, sis, like, I've never been, the position that I'm in now at work, I've never been in this position before. I don't know how to do it. You know, in terms of, like, you know, I'm doing well, but there is no manual and there is no rule book that says I have to do it, you know, these ways. And as such, I'm going to mess up, and that's okay. Messing up is a part of it. Messing up is falling off the bike, and I'm learning and trying to grow. But even in that, I'm blessed to have a supervisor and mentors and people around me that will cover me as I'm falling off this bike, right? Like, who cover me. They make sure that I'm not, you know, and even in all the mistakes that I've made thus far, I'm not, you know, I've not lost anything. I've even gained things. Despite the mistakes that I made as a postdoc, I got a promotion. Despite the mistakes that we made on this podcast, we have 5 million listeners. So that
I told Key, I said, is your supervisor finna fire you?
Exactly.
She was like, no. She's like, okay.
She's not gonna fire me. and I'm grateful for that. Even despite all of the raggedy despite the mistakes and the challenges and the difficulties that I've had. Or even just the growing pains of figuring out how to do this. And she said, I mean, my supervisor has said to me, like, there is no one way to do this. And sometimes you learn by falling on your face, but I'm not going to let anything happen to you. So I'm grateful. See? I'm grateful for that. And that is one of my positive thought that counteracts my when I feel like I'm messing up and doing things. It's like, no, you're not going to mess up. And honestly, what I've been saying all along is God is not going to play me. Even if I do not do this the way that I thought that I was going to do it, God is not going to play me. And it's important to remember that. And I have to combat that. So it's not about, and it's not saying that once you do this, the negative thoughts are going to go away instantly. The habits that we have are hard fought and hard won, rather, in terms that, you know, literally for 36 years, I've been Floyd Mayweathering myself. So naturally, it's going to take some time for me to kind of get into my muscle memory how to combat these thoughts when they come. So if it is something that you're dealing with, this negative self-talk, I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to feel like you got company. It's something that we are all out here trying to figure out, me specifically. So if there are ways that we can help each other out and hold each other up, then we can do that. And I mean, there are ways to do it. Like, I was talking to Fran this weekend, because last week was a super busy weekend. I didn't make it to the gym. I only made it to the gym one time. And I was feeling like, you know, oh.
But you made it to the gym.
Right. But I mean, she was saying, like, you
guess
know.
Guess who didn't?
It's the thing. It's those kinds of things. So she was like, you know, you, me, and Crystal been trying to do this workout thing. Why don't we start a group chat and we can kind of keep each other up? And if we make, if we have a great workout, we'll share it. Or if we missed it, then we'll share it. And we'll just kind of keep each other accountable that way. And just having that, you know, that little small thing has been helpful. So saying all that to say, I know that negative self-talk is something that I'm dealing with. And, you know, you guys, you know, we tend to kind of, you know, we all deal with similar things. So I'm sharing this in hopes that the conversation will be useful and we can all kind of figure out how to work hard to combat these thoughts together.
We've also got to stop calling ourselves trash
yes.
and garbage and raggedy so and things much. Like that. And you've got to remember that if we're talking about ourselves, if we talk, we would never talk to somebody else the way that we talk to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Our loved ones, the people who we really, truly care about and love, we'll never talk to them the way that we talk to ourselves and call them garbage and trash and so forth and so on. So we've got to implement and practice putting that type of conversation, applying it to ourselves. The same grace you give to your loved ones, you've got to give to yourself.
Absolutely.
And you hold your loved ones accountable, right? Like, you don't, and this is not me just talking to you because I do the same thing, but you don't just, I'm, this is just talking, but you don't just talk to your, you know, you don't talk to your loved ones like that. And you don't also tell your loved ones everything that they want to hear. You hold them accountable, but you do it in a loving way.
Yes.
And so if we take that and turn that back on self, that'll help a lot of us to stop with the garbage and the trash and the raggedy and the so forth and so on.
Real talk. So that's the kitchen table.
That's it this week. No graduation announcements. No. We're done. And and we have an honesty box to get to, so we can just go ahead and roll on over.
Roll on.
Roll along. Roll along.
With more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes, Third Love designs over the shoulder, boulder holder bras with brand size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and a premium feel. Just answer a few simple questions via the Third Love's Fit Finder quiz to find your perfect fit in just 60 seconds. Then, thanks to this 100% fit guarantee, you can wear, wash, and put your bra to the test for 60 days. And if you don't love it, you can return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. This is hands down the most comfortable bra you'll own, with straps that won't slip, tagless labels, and lightweight, super thin memory foam cups. I am wearing my Third Love bra right now. It's one of the several that I own, and I can just tell you that this bra is life. I can attest to the fact, because I have asymmetrical boobs, and I can attest to this half cup size ministry, and it works because I don't have to worry about my left boob just coming all out the top, because I'm, you know, I just, it is, I, it's, the stress is just gone because Third Love has saved my life, and I will be a patron of their fine, fine business establishment for many years to come, because it's just everything.
That it's a party in my shirt.
It is.
Everyone's invited.
And I mean, that Fit Finder thing, I was, of course, like, you know, the questions, I was like, girl, I'm not. What is this? But I have been, I stand corrected, as do my titties. All right. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/grown. right now to find your perfect fitting bra. And again, you'll get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/grown for 15% off today.
Honestly,
truly. So our honesty box this week is actually a little different than what we usually have. But, you know, I thought it would make for good conversation because we've gotten a few of these. So I guess now we can address.
Alrighty.
She wants us to give her a name, so sis, give her a pseudonym.
Tiana.
Tiana. Princess Tiana.
Princess Tiana.
She says, hi, Jade and Kia. Forgive me for the clickbaity subject, subject line, but I really wanted your thoughts on this matter. So the subject line was, I saw what y'all had on this weekend and ellipses, dot, dot, dot. I follow you all on Instagram, as well as the other sister friends, Crystal and Fran. And you all look beautiful as usual at 305 Live and Happy Hour. Congrats on a successful event, by the way, Kia.
Thank you.
What really struck me is how free and comfortable you all seem when you're in a social setting, specifically free in the clothing that you choose to wear. Kia, I know you're part of the Bodycon and sneaker gang.
Amen.
And Jade will always give us a nice sneaker or chancla, which I live for. Mm-hmm. You all always manage to look cute, comfy, and sexy at once. LOL. I guess my question is, what advice could you give me when choosing clothes to wear in a social standing, be it a day party, going to a bar or lounge, or even a nightclub, without feeling like I absolutely have to have on a heel or clothes that have half my butt out, or wear something tight in order to be seen as attractive or sexy? I've reached an age where I know I do not necessarily have to wear clothes that are shorter, tighter, and refuse to waddle and become uncomfortable in a heel, but still struggle with letting go of the conditioning that I need to dress a certain way to gain attention or be seen as attractive, especially when most of my peers are still doing things in a performative way for the attention of men. How can I have the confidence to dress according to how I feel and not worry about being in a sneaker or flat and comfortable clothes if everyone else is dressed differently? Thank you for your input. I appreciate y'all and all you do. Princess Tiana.
Well. Well, okay, two things come to mind. One is a Beyonce lyric and the other is a meme. So I don't know, what should I tell first? The meme?
Let's do the Beyonce lyric because I'm intrigued.
The Beyonce lyric that comes to mind as I was listening to your letter, Tiana, was, you are a grown woman and you can do what?
Do whatever you want. Yes.
whatever it is. Beyonce said it, and that settles it, sis. Okay.
Yes.
So I'll say the meme and then I'll expound on each. The meme that came to mind was worry about yourself. Mm. Like when the little girl was trying to put her SIBO on, she was like, worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. Mm. So I said the Beyonce lyric, you're a grown woman, you can do whatever you want. I feel like as I continue to kind of step into grown woman, Kia, what has really been a relief is the fact that I don't have to answer to, like, I really, really relish and enjoy and appreciate the fact that I can do whatever I want. There are no rules as far as I am concerned. So if in terms, because I set the tone, and I don't, and what really helped me with that was, you know, that became clear to me when I cut my hair and was wearing it all kinds of colors. People were worried about me looking like a ratch and wondering whether or not this compromised my professionalism. But
that future was hitting.
I just feel like you are the sauce, whatever it is. There's no way that doing one thing or another can box you into anything, because you always going to be you in that. So I could never be a ratch, right? Like I couldn't look, even in my pink hair, I didn't look like one of the city girls, because I'm not one of the city girls. I'm Kia. So I'm always going to bring Kia to whatever it is I choose to do. So that's why if I want to put on a bodycon dress and a pair of pumps, I'll do that because that's what I want to do. If I want to put on a bodycon dress with some 11s, I will do that because that's what I want to do.
It also as well.
It just depends on what I want to do. And I found a way to be kind of uncompromising in that. And the worry about yourself piece comes in. It's like, I think that's one of the things that I really love about our friendship. Me, you, Crystal, and Fran, I think we have all found a way to be ourselves. And there is never a conversation, or even it's not even a thought about, what we wearing, what we doing. It's like, we going, and everybody's going to be themselves there. So, you know, that's just it. Like, everybody's going to do what they want, wear what they want. We're not there to worry about what each other is doing or wearing. We're there to have fun and enjoy each other's company. So if the mood is like, we're all going to have, like, you know, when we were going out for Tanika's birthday and it was like, everyone wear a bad bitch dress. It's like, okay, we can do that. But even in that, you know, everyone kind of showed up in their own skin, right? And it was just like what it was. But worry about yourself. You talked about your friends dressing in ways that you feel are performative. That's not your business. You know, like, worry about yourself. Wear what you want to wear and own it and be fly, and don't worry about what other people think about it, because you are grown and you can do what you want. That's what I would say. What do you say?
Literally the same thing. Literally the same thing. I personally don't give a fuck about what anybody has to say about my outfit when I'm going out. And I have really adopted the Alfred Woodard standard of thinking. I'm not putting on no damn heel. Alfred Woodard will show up to every red carpet across the globe in a flat. And that's how I am. If it's a spot that says ladies can only wear heels, it's not for me. I want to make sure that I feel comfortable in whatever that I put on my, whatever I choose to put on my body. So I think it's, I don't think it's really about like, where do you shop or what do you, it's not about that. It's about, what do you feel good in? What do you like? Have you ever stopped and asked yourself what you like? Again, like Kia says, stop worrying about your friends and what they're doing. Let people, thirsty people going to be thirsty. Just let them do that. You know what I'm saying? And sit in the corner and mind your business.
Or thirsty for you might be different than thirsty for them. That's why I just feel like it's best to just be like, oh, okay. Like
some people really like, we can have perceptions where, you know, we see people putting on tight clothes and heels. I have friends who only wear heels because they feel comfortable. Like that's what they feel good in. They're actually
uncomfortable. It doesn't sneakers, bother them. Right? They don't know what to do.
Uncomfortable in sneakers.
That's what happens.
I am Mr. Tumness in a pair of heels, and I have really come to know and accept that. And I love sneakers, so it just works out for me. And if I can't wear sneakers there, then I don't need to be there. But I just think about what works best for me. What am I going to feel good in for the day? That's literally how I choose my outfit. What am I going to feel good walking around in? What am I going to feel good standing in? What is going to feel comfortable? Is this going to feel like this on my body? Is this going to feel like this on my body? I focus on those things.
Is it going, I'm like, all right. Is it going to ride me like the crosstown bus?
Right.
Is it going,
am I going to have a wedgie all
night? Is it
going to
stay where I put it? Like, girl, these are the questions.
Am I
going
to be able to get away with wearing these men's underwear that I love to wear up under my clothes? Because I avoid getting wedgies. Like, half the time y'all see me, I got on a pair of men's drawers. Listen. Like, I'm going to be keeping it all the way funky with you because they're like, comfortable and I don't get no wedgies.
And comfort is something I'm not willing to compromise. The older I get, it's just like, oh, girl, I'm not going to be comfortable in that. So I'm not wearing it. Or I'm not going to be comfortable there. So I'm not going. There's just certain choices that you need to make. And it's not a matter of whether or not your friends agree or disagree. Or how anybody else feels about it. It just boils down to like, this is what I want to do and I'm doing it. And I think if you own that and really just kind of live your life according to that standard, the people that are around you have no other choice but to respect it. And it don't have be no beef. It's not like, F y'all, I'm not doing it. It's just like, nah, I decided to wear this. Now, let's go get something to drink.
And you don't even have to announce it.
It doesn't. Like just show up
don't even
and be
make
there.
It a thing. Literally pick your outfit. Leave the house in what feels good to you. If you feel like it may look, I mean, obviously you want to make sure like, you know, you don't look crazy. You know what I'm saying? So you can ask, does this look all right? All right, cool. And then if you've got a friend who's got totally different, you know, a total different style than you, maybe that's not the friend you want to ask about your outfit because they always going to have something to say. But do you feel good in it? Do you feel good walking out the house in it? That's how you choose. And then once you feel good about it, once you've made your decision, then stand in that decision. Wear that outfit, walk around in that outfit, and be comfortable in that outfit.
That's it.
And stop putting so much thought into it. Because I guarantee you, the same thing that I thought about when I used to be all worried about bathing suits and this and putting on shorts. Oh my God, these big ass thighs is about to be out. It's about to be Christmas ham for everybody. And it's July. Like, nobody, half, more than half of the time, nobody is worried about
you. Not one person. You're the only one.
And the people who are worried about you are insecure people.
Absolutely.
So if you're not that, you're going to worry about you and you're going to feel good in whatever you have on. And you're not going to put no more thought into it.
Most of the time, the people with the comments are the people sitting in the bleachers.
That's it.
They're watching. They're not playing the game. So just let them watch. No. Give them a show.
Or it's people who hate themselves. Honestly, if we're going to keep it all, like people who always have something to say about somebody else generally hate themselves. Because that's why they're always looking for flaw and criticism in everybody. I'm not talking about my fellow Virgos where we love to criticize things. That's what we do for hobby. But I'm talking about people who love to sit there and criticize people. People who don't who constantly have something negative to say about other people, it's usually because they are unhappy with something within themselves. So you can't worry about them. That's the peanut gallery. Do you feel good? Then that's all that matters.
Straight like that.
So, Princess Tiana, I hope that answered your question. I hope that helped. Please continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcasts@gmail.com and we can move along to you all's favorite segment.
Okay, KK. Don't you just love warm alcohol? Nope. Okay, well, neither did Dylan, the founder of Brewmate. That's why he created stylish, insulated drinkware, which is designed to keep your favorite beverages ice cold all day. Whatever your taste in beer, wine, or spirits might be, Brumite. I just became, I'm from the UK. Brumite. Brumite, make sure every sip is in the perfect temp.
Yes. International shipping, don't quote us on that. I love my Brumite. Wine Cellator. Let me get back to business. The Wine Cellator with the two uncorked extra large wine tumblers.
A mood.
With lids.
It's a total mood.
Let me tell you something.
And it keeps the people out your business.
It really does. Because mine was in a rose gold. It was beautiful. Nobody knew what was happening. But me and my esposo were sitting out in the park having us some food. You know, I refuse to call it a picnic. We were having some food on a blanket. And guess who had chili rosé? Because my wine does not get warm in my Wine Cellator. And then we had these beautiful cups. Nobody came by to tell us about glass in the park. Nothing like that. It was absolutely wonderful. You guys have to get into your Brumite.
Brumite.
Okay. Don't settle for warm alcohol. Chill out with your favorite drinks all day long with Brumate. Visit brumate.com and add code GROWN to get 15% off your first order. That's 15% off your first order when you go to BRUMATE.com and add code GROWN.
Cheerio.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
It's the petty parade time, okay, where the floats are large and obnoxious. So,
all right.
I have two petty peeves this week.
All right, it's a bonus.
I came ready. Two petty peeves. The first one is from the 4th of July. And it's specifically for the little niggas in all the neighborhoods went out to the suburbs to purchase fireworks and came back to the hood with them and decide to blast them bitches at until 2 a.m.
The disrespect.
I hate you all and you don't have mothers.
My word.
They literally, some of them were grown men. I saw them.
Most
I was overstanding.
And this,
most of them are grown men.
Because
you're
they
right.
don't sell them to children.
They don't. They don't sell them to children and they don't sell them in the city. So you had to travel elsewhere to go get them. Now, I don't care. This is summertime. I get it. Summertime in Brooklyn, summertime in Harlem, summertime in New York City, wherever, if this is happening to you, wherever you are, right? Summertime is the time to be doing all of this. And that's fine. Fourth of July is probably the main, you know, where most niggas at a time in the year light off fireworks. But there are children sleeping. Or there are just people who are just trying to be. And when you set off fireworks that sound like a manhole just exploded at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be pissed. And I'm so tired of these niggas. And now it's way past the holiday. And they're still lighting these motherfucking fireworks. And they're lighting them in the midnight hour. And it is frustrating the hell out of me. So my first petty peeve is for them. My second petty peeve. So I didn't put this in the trash. I was going to put it in the trash until I had my own experience.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm sure you all saw that stupid ass video of that dumbass girl licking that Bluebell ice cream.
Oh, Jesus.
For what they're calling the Tin Roof Challenge.
Who?
That's what apparently it was called. It was based on. I didn't even know it was a challenge until this article and video slid across my eyes. So it was the Tin Roof Challenge where people go around. And I guess this has to happen in the South because they don't sell Bluebell up here. Even though it's delicious and they should. But people are going around opening the Bluebell Tin Roof flavor, licking the top of it and putting it back in the freezer. So this one particular girl does the challenge and then tweets about it, posts the video and says that she had the flu last week. Licks the top of the ice cream and puts it back in the freezer. So it was a lot of debate online about what should happen to this girl. Come to find out, it is a felony.
Yes, it is.
To tamper with
not
food.
Only a felony, okay? But a federal felony.
It's a federal felony.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't know what kind of germs you carry, that can affect somebody else.
She going to jail.
Somebody with a weak immune system, an
like
incredibly
me.
Weak immune
I
system.
I would die.
could literally die
expire.
Off of you being an asshole.
Absolutely.
Literally could. It could. Babies, toddlers, somebody decides they want to give their baby a little scoop of ice cream and you put your fucking mono and herpes all over the goddamn top of the ice cream. You filthy fucking human being. And I was one of those people who was very much a part of the I don't believe in calling the laws on these young black kids, blah, 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 blah. But that bitch got to go to jail.
Prison.
That bitch got to go to jail. So come to find out, update. She is not being tried because she's a minor. She is being tried as a minor. Unfortunately, because I'm like, give her the full extent of the law. Put that child in a freezer. Make her eat ice cream until she explodes. Make her lick every bus seat in all of New York City. Make her lick every pole on the D train from Coney Island.
So caught up in these challenges and things. And it's like, do you realize? Never. I'm sure she never could have imagined that doing something
Never.
Like this could land her in federal prison. But you see how this is why we got to be so careful about not getting caught up and doing stuff for the gram. Like, this is
for
dumb.
Attention.
This is really
y'all
dumb.
Are out here painting your ass to look like watermelons. You're licking
filthy cucumbers. I just can't deal with it.
You're licking the top of ice cream. You're being filthy. So the reason why this petty peeve ended up hitting so close to home, besides the fact that when I read the original article, I instantly wanted to wrap my hands around this girl's neck. I ordered some ice cream last night from the bodega.
Oh, dear.
And I opened the ice cream. I ordered two ice creams. One, salted caramel, vegan ice cream. You know, I just wanted to try a couple of them. The other one, a regular dairy vanilla bean from artisanal ice cream
so
company in Brooklyn, right? I order it and I open the vanilla bean and it looks like fang marks.
Fang marks?
And it looks like teeth.
Sweet holy God.
In the fucking ice cream. I posted it on my stories today. I was like, please tell me if this looks like teeth marks. And I got a rousing response of yes, that looks like teeth marks. Now I called the bodega and I was like, yo, this is completely unacceptable. Like, I'm not blaming you all because how could you know? But this is what happened. So the man says, which ice cream was it? He specifically asked brand and flavor. He goes, that particular brand and flavor, we got the delivery in on Friday. He was like, so that's why I'm asking. He goes and opens up one of the other vanilla beans and it looks like the same mark is in the ice cream. So I don't know if it was some kind of weird production flub when they were putting that flavor into the cartons and that's what it looks like, or if somebody was running around fucking with the vanilla bean ice cream. Regardless, or as you all like to say, irregardless. Which is not a word. Regardless, I don't want to be having fear behind eating a tasty cold treat.
You just gotta make
something that I'm supposed to enjoy. Because you many moon crickets want to run around this fucking city or country, excuse me, because that happened in Texas. You little raggedy assholes have now put doubt and fear in my mind because you all act motherless. And now I don't know. And now I can't in good conscience eat this ice cream. Because I truly don't know if somebody's been tampering with it behind you all acting like nobody the fuck raised you but a band of possums. So those are my petty peeves this week.
You know, in the spirit of July 4th of July.
Mm-hmm. I too have two petty peeves. One, I'm just gonna keep the party going, and we talked about her several times before on this show, but Sunny Anderson was on the Food Network. Wig! On the 4th of July episode of that show that she's on with those other terrible people that be making up.
That also tamper with food and should be sent to prison.
They just make terrible choices when it comes to food preparation. But they were doing all of your 4th of July holiday favorites.
Please tell me they didn't make potato salad.
Sunny shared her special recipe for pesto potato salad.
Oh!
And the recipe featured tricolor fingerling potatoes, pesto.
Wait a minute.
Kosher salt, Greek yogurt, agave nectar, a lemon zested. Well, I guess a lemon peel, the zest of a lemon. And, you know, you can garnish it. This is one of the worst parts, right? So you have options when it comes to how you want to garnish this.
Okay.
Also want to bring to your, you can garnish this with pine nuts, toasted pine nuts. You could garnish this with a bunch of basil. You can garnish this with shaved Parmesan cheese. My favorite garnish that was the highlighted on the show was jalapeno potato chips. And you could have a pesto potato salad.
What?
It was all bad. I didn't even watch it, but my coworker shared it with me today. And I went on Al Gore's internet and found the recipe. And, you know, Sunny was out here advising the people that if they really wanted to make this potato salad, this pesto potato salad creamy, they could add mayo. Which I thought was hilarious because mayo is usually a critical ingredient in potato salad, but they have
mayo optional.
Mayo is optional in Sunny's potato salad. So I just wanted one of my petty peeves today is Sunny Anderson because she just continues.
Sunny Anderson, period.
She just embarrasses.
That's the tweet.
That's it. That's the caption.
That's the tweet.
She just embarrasses the ancestors.
Starting with them wigs. Starting with the wigs, can we get to the headpieces, the helmets she be putting on top of her head?
Really, really. Like, I just have no words to watch her do this.
Y'all wonder why I'm coming out with a cooking show. You wonder why I'm coming out with a cooking show, because there is no proper representation of a black woman in the culinary industry on the TV.
Put jalapeno potato chips on my potato salad. See, don't I go upside your head.
I want to fight.
Who wants green potato salad? You know what? I don't want to do this.
I understand. Like, I make you a classic traditional black potato salad, right? I've also made a Southwestern variation. No, it does not have corn or black beans in it.
I want that.
I just use more of a chipotle mustard, mm-hmm. and it just added a little something to it. You know what I'm saying? I've done that as well. I've also made a German style potato salad, which is a thing. With oil and vinegar and things like that. It's not mayo based. I've done those things. What I've never done is desecrate a potato salad by putting chips on top of it.
And adding pesto, which I feel like, what is that?
I don't want pesto in my potato salad. I love pesto. I don't want it in my potato salad. And that is not potato salad. You have warm pesto potatoes.
Not okay. I don't want it.
And you add chips on top of
that? Jalapeno potato chips at that. And they were so excited.
I'd love to mush Sunny's whole wig in her own potato salad. That's what I want.
It was disturbing. But my final one is going to be really brief. I just want to say this is more of a PSA, not necessarily a petty peeve. I am tired of your white parties. I'm tired of your themed parties. I've just gotten to the point. I mean, we can even go back to our honesty box, but I'm at this stage in my life where I just want to wear what I want. And I don't want people to tell me what to wear.
And I think that it is it's excessive. It's added stress and it's added money. Because when you tell people that they have to wear certain things to your function, if they don't have those things, they have to go out and purchase those things. And why
y'all think your niggly ass ancestors told you to put these white parties together?
Why y'all were so committed to them? Because I also am just baffled. I really don't understand, where is the novelty? What is so fun about everybody looking alike? Why is that something that we like to do?
Well, I have to say, I have to say, sis, I am a part of the anti-white party clan. You saw what I wore to the all-white party in Miami.
I did.
In protest. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I don't want to wear all white. First of all, who wants to wear all white? Nobody. You feel self-conscious the entire
white evening. Black people look amazing in white, but I feel like when we wear white on our own volition, that's when it really pops. It's when we are forced to wear white against our will. When I'm just like over it, like, girl. And for you girls who want to have parties with other crazy, ridiculous themes, LaToya was telling me this weekend that she went to a function and it was like a pastel party. And when she got to the door and she wasn't wearing pink or what have you, they charged her $10. I said, what? I wish I would pay. What? First of all, you don't...
It's like them bougie ass.
You don't get to tell me
ever
what to wear.
And you got the nerve. Isn't that illegal to charge me because I don't have on the color you want?
I don't
want
to wear periwinkle and lavender to your party. I don't care if that's what you
want
to wear.
I don't want sea green.
I don't want to do it. I'm not interested. I don't care what the theme is. Martha's Vineyard. I don't care. You girls want to wear your seersucker. You want to be out here in your boat shoes. If that's what you choose to do, that's your business. But if I want to wear
Sperry's on your own,
you know what I'm saying? If that's what you want to wear, then wear it. But if I don't want to wear that, I should not be penalized. It's what I'm saying.
Nope.
I'm sick of it. And y'all having theme parties for everything. We not only going to the club, but you niggas want to tell me what to wear to your baby shower. You want to tell me what to wear to the gender reveal. You want to tell me what to wear to your child's third birthday party, sis? I don't have to do it. And I won't. And I will not. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Then I'll be out here stressed, running through the Zara trying to find something to match your damn theme.
I just can't. I mean, if your theme is something within reason, like, I can get with. Like, you know, I saw a flyer because it's, you know, the girls do the No Bare Lips challenge. For 30 days, you wear a different lipstick every day. So it was like a No Bare Lips party. They was just saying you have to come to the party wearing any lipstick. I can do that because I have 52,000 lipsticks. But if you're telling me I got to wear pink lipstick, then I'm going to have an attitude. Because what if I don't wear lipstick. Another color? Or what if I would like to wear a lip gloss? Or what if I just want to be
What
out
if I
want to
wear my Burt's
You know
beads,
what I'm
bitch.
Saying?
This is a flavor. It's cucumber mint.
I do what I want. You telling me that your baby shower is an equestrian theme? Girl, I don't give a crap about your Kentucky Derby ass shower.
I don't have no
I'm
boots.
Wearing what I want. Okay? Okay?
They talked about my boots.
I just am sick and tired. The girls always, if another invitation comes with an attire, I will lose my mind. I just feel like it's unreasonable for y'all to expect me to wear what y'all want me to wear. Because what happens all the time? The niggas want to have an all-white party and they show up in red. Girl, if you don't get out of here.
Yeah. Come to my purple-themed goddess party. No.
No. No.
Can I wear gray?
Like, I mean, the girls wear me thin.
Now, unless it's like a costume situation or like a 90s theme, because y'all, you know what I'm saying? Okay, do your thing. I personally want to have an auntie and uncle party. I want everybody to come in their finest Bluetooth and Kango.
Fanny pack and Figaro chains.
Yeah, like I need, you know, asymmetrical wigs, like, you know what I'm saying? So symmetry wigs. I want you to come as your favorite auntie and uncle. But that is a specific type of situation. Don't tell me to wear, like, it's a sunshine party and we all have to wear orange.
And yellow. Girl.
I'm going to wear black.
I am going to wear
on purpose
what I want. Okay. That's it.
On purpose.
I just can't. I'm at the age, I feel like I'm 36 years old and I have fought hard and I've tried to live a good life. I think I deserve to be able to dress my own body. That's just how
absolutely.
I feel. It is.
I stand behind this, sis.
I just, and I know y'all gonna be mad. And, oh, it's just have fun. Just wear your stripes and polka dots. It's just about the girl, I don't care.
No, bitch, I hate polka dots.
No, you wear
I
it.
I hate
if
polka
that's what
dots.
You want to wear, then wear it. I just say, if you want to have a theme party, then have one, but don't make it mandatory.
If you want to be dressed like Pennywise out here, do your thing.
Get your life.
I'm not doing it.
Okay. Beetlejuice.
That's like them niggas with them women have to wear heels. Mr. Tumnus party. Now you got everybody hobbling around the goddamn party looking stupid because why?
If a nigga invites me to another everybody got to wear heels party, I'm expecting him to wear heels when I get there.
You better have on some pumps, my nigga, 5 inches.
I want you to be standing.
And if you don't, I'll take mine off and you going to put them on.
Because I feel like it's unreasonable. Because I deal with this at the church as well. Because certain, you know, choir directors, male choir directors, things like that, they're always telling ladies that flats are not allowed, blah, blah, blah. I want you to wear heels. And I'm like, you, sir, have never experienced the 5-alarm fire on the soles of your feet after standing in this heel for 2 hours.
Like, what's wrong with you? Why would you even open your mouth to tell me anything about what I need to put on my body?
I try to be
Please
in compliance.
Eat a dick.
I try to be in compliance, but I just
All right,
don't
I'm coming
think...
to sing for the Lord in a pair of Air Max. How about
don't
that,
feel
nigga?
Like it's fair because y'all don't have to be up there with your feet hurting, is what I'm saying.
You don't. No, next week I will show up with some Air Max on. Who's looking at my feet? Nobody but you. Are you obsessed?
Child, I'm just here to tell you.
Would you like to pay me for feet pictures, nigga?
The people really like to tell me what to wear, and I'm just at a stage in my life where I want to wear what I want.
Fuck off.
But that being said, we want to thank you guys again for tuning in to another episode of Getting Grown with Jade and Kia. We appreciate your consistent support. You guys are the best. You are dope, honey. Like 1989 high schools. Just dope.
Okay.
Just overrun.
Tracy from Fly Girl.
Absolutely. We just love you. And we are super excited and grateful to you guys. Thank you guys again for 5 million plus listens. We got like a platinum plaque or something, right? What's I'm waiting for it to come in something. The mail. Somebody got to send me something.
A little award or some little engraved.
I mean, give me a little something
sitch.
So I can tell my, you know, I'm going to put it on my CV or something. You know, somebody got to care. I'm about to
And I truly applaud you all for being able to hold water because even after 5 million, can you comprehend 5 million, 5 million listens, y'all still ain't told Kia's mom.
I mean, y'all don't know who she is, so it's okay. and I really don't feel like she would get it. That's what I'm saying. That this is not just like, I'm not keeping this from her or something. I just feel like she would not understand it.
She'd be like, now what do you
She'd
do
be like,
now?
I don't understand what that means. And she would panic because that's where I get my panic button from. I inherited that directly from her. She would be like, you talk to the internet every what?
Like
she
I know my mother be like, be, your little yeah, show.
It would be like
I heard about your little show.
Yeah. I don't this is adulting. This is me deciding, you know, and picking my battles and knowing where and how to move in this life. But yeah, I'm able to do it. So when we do live shows and when we have to do stuff in the show, I just tell my mom I'm going to work because that's what I'm doing.
That's what you're going to do.
I'm not
you
lying.
Lie.
I'm not lying. But again, I appreciate lie. Y'all for your compliance. If I find out that one of you do tell my mother, I will fight you. It's not a threat.
You'll
it's
be
a
in breach of contract.
Absolutely. But
we'll sue you.
Let me do this on my own. I got this. God bless you. But yeah, that being said, sis, go ahead and tell the people what we tell them every week.
Well, you all are already doing it. You're minding your business
right.
And continue to do that. Drink your water and most importantly, moisturize those heels.
Absolutely.
Why, sis?
Because your heels will crack if they are dry.
And that's it.
Peace out. Peace and blessings. Okay.
Okay. Adios.
My rigorous. Bye.
My rigorous mommy. Bye.
Bye.
Life is a highway, And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.